In studying the two images, you find that the expression of belief is far more complex, beyond what we could even begin to imagine just a simple word dictates. I mean, there's a lot of people in the world think that the hieroglyphic language is a crude, rudimentary way of depicting a specific situation. Yet when you look at the very simple form of letter choice in formulations of words, that's even more basic because it's also limited, whereas geometric shape and form is unlimited. So you have to then think, okay, so who's the person that's more backward than the earlier expression? So we have gone backwards. We haven't gone forwards. We've gone backwards in our understanding of the universe in general. Our own spiritual existence comes under threat when we limit our beliefs to just simple words. For instance, when you get a thought, the actual initial thought, that universal mind, is a specific geometric form. It's a shape. And your brain receives that in a sequence of tones which forms the shape. It then interprets the knowledge that's built into that shape, and you end up translating it into whatever language you speak. So the interpretation has to be limited relative to the language that you use, because there are some specifics that your brain will block out because you don't have a relevant understanding of that particular part of the expressive diagrammatic shape. So when you come back to the bee and the leaf, if you understand the bee part, well, look at a bee. Let's take a bumblebee, for example. Who knows, for instance, that the reason why it flies, even though science thinks that it's a paradox, is because the wings of the bee beat so fast it creates a harmonic resonance which creates a bubble of anti-gravity around the bee, and the bee controls its direction relative to the way it beats its wings. So here you have a perfect scenario or example of an anti-gravity bubble being generated by oscillating vibration. But it's at such a high harmonic level that you can't see it and you can't sense it because our technology isn't that advanced. But it's there, and the evidence can soon be found if you're prepared to go and have a look. As far as the leaf is concerned, if you look at the leaf, you have a situation which is a leaf, which is part of a tree, which takes in carbon dioxide and gives off oxygen. So it's a bit like your lungs, except in reverse. See, the tree bronchial alveoli structure of the actual lung passages is in reverse to the way a tree rises into the sky. Your branch runs down. So it's in reverse. Now your lungs take in oxygen and give off carbon dioxide. So it's reverse what the leaf does. So you are a reflection of what your environment is doing. So your belief, again, and the belief in the tree and its ability to do the things that it can do, and the belief of the bee with its ability to do the things that it can do, is way more advanced than your belief. So when you look at the symbolism, there's more in the symbolism than there is in just the word belief. So when you look at a pattern, your brain is picking up an energy frequency or an imprint. Now the interesting point here is that if the universal mind is a set sequence of geometric shapes that holds a vast amount of knowledge within each individual shape, our ability to interpret that knowledge within that shape is limited by our ability to express ourselves. And there comes the limitations of humanity and its development, and unless it's prepared to look at these things with an open mind, it will never move forward beyond a certain point, because it blocks its future. Your spirituality, your direction, the ability to heal yourself of just about any situation is only limited by the expression of your own belief of how the universe works. Now, one of the more detailed aspects that we've uncovered through our research over the years is connected to a lot of stuff that we do, whether it's ancient civilizations, ancient cultures using ancient geometric forms or shapes, diagrams to depict different scenes, hieroglyphic language, whatever. The patterns themselves have been, in a way, grossly misunderstood. It's easy to look at something and say, okay, look at the effects, like plants, soils, so forth, minerals. Effects are one thing, but to understand the dynamic of the actual design itself is something totally different. It's a bit like, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? In this case, the pattern came first. And when you actually consider, just for a second, symbolistic interpretation is far more precise, absolute, and specific in the expression of the purpose and the meaning behind the design. In other words, what is inside the design. So let's go over that example again, between the bee and the leaf, like we explained before. I mean, I'll give you a good example. You take, say, just a simple diagrammatic image of a bee and a leaf would symbolize belief. Now, in language, we look at belief as a sequence of letters. But our understanding of belief simply comes down to our acknowledgement of something that we can accept inside ourselves that we make part of our lives. Now, belief in itself is purely like a religious acknowledgement almost of a specific situation or instance that we accept. And that's the secret behind it. But when you look at the actual symbolistic side to do with the belief, the bee and the leaf, you see something far more complex. For instance, the bee has the ability to fly purely through the process of oscillating vibration, which creates like a zero gravity bubble around it. The way it changes the rhythm in the wings will give it the ability to change the shape of the bubble. This is a knowledge it has, that's why it flies. Whereas research in those areas has not been done at the right level to discover that anti-gravity bubble. Yet, if you look at some research that's been done with helix formations, you find that within the loop of the helix, it's zero gravity. It's the same thing. You control the bubble. You change the direction in which you go. Whereas the leaf also has the potential to convert carbon dioxide and express oxygen. Now that's the same as your lungs, but in reverse. Because the lungs that you have takes in oxygen and gives off carbon dioxide. But the interesting thing here is the trees go up into the atmosphere, so they're upwards, whereas the alveoli and bronchial tubes within the lung itself go down, they point downwards. So it's a reflection, and you are a reflection of your own environment. So all of these are belief systems. The tree believes that it can do what it can. Now if you get two trees the same, and you cut a branch off one, and you put like a lie detector on the other one, you'll hear it scream. You'll record it, even though that tree's not been damaged and the other one has, because they communicate. Now it's the same with the bee. The bee believes that it can do it, so it does. And it's interesting because when you look at human belief, it's so singular and so limited because of the words that we use and the language that we use, because we don't have an understanding of how diagrammatic shape holds secrets relative to knowledge. So when you actually look at the diagram, the geometric shape carries far more energy than just a word. I mean, a word is just a sequence of different letters. Granted, each letter is a symbol within itself, but it has limitations. It's a letter formulation designed by man. It's not a universal thing. You have to understand that a lot of alien contact requires geometric form. Now, if in the universe, for instance, we have geometric shape, and let's say there's one symbol that everybody understands, they're all going to interpret it in their own language. So each person, depending on the level of intelligence that they have and the level of knowledge that they have relative to the language that they use, will depict the level of knowledge differently from another race. This is a bit like what we do. You have to identify the knowledge within the shape. So when you look at belief, you're dealing with words. When you're dealing with shape, like the bee and the leaf, you're dealing with two symbolisms, two shapes, two forms. But I mean, you could take two individual geometric shapes that combine a system. Now, we know from work done that two tones create a helix. But here's another little exercise I remember watching when I was a lot younger, 30, 40 years ago, that there was a professor. His name was Professor Julius Sumner Miller, and he did a very interesting experiment with plates, metal plates, different shapes, square and round. And he got a violin bow, struck one side, but before he did that, he sprinkled a little bit of sugar on the plate. Now, the plate was held by another metal rod that was bolted through the middle. So all the plates looked the same, except that one was square and one was round. And when you struck the side of the plate with the bow, you got a shape forming in the sugar. Now, a simple shape repeats four times on a square. Now, if you're using a round, you can actually get it to repeat and do like a star shape, for instance, where you get five, six, seven, whatever, however many. But you're changing it by the pitch of the bow. So shape is formed by sound, vibrational frequency. You can even go up to the harmonic level. You will get a shape forming from that harmonic level. Now, he did all of this, and it was all filmed. It was all research that he was doing, and he was explaining how the whole process works. And sound dynamics with resonance forms shape. But the interesting part is, when we look at that in a scientific viewpoint, we're looking at it from the reflective side. We're looking at it from the left instead of the right. Now, what we mean by that is we're looking at the shape rather than the shape coming back. So because we don't understand the shape, we're just looking at the result of the sound and not recognizing that the shape has knowledge. And that once we understand what that knowledge is, from the sound that was generated that formed the shape, then we'll start to understand the shape better. And this is really what the crop circles are doing. They're getting humanity to understand what the secrets are of shape. Now, go back to ancient cultures and ancient history and you'll find sacred geometry all over the place. Ancient priests in Egypt used it. The Mayans used it. Gosh, it goes back thousands of years. Yet today, we ignore it. We build buildings in any old shape we want. You see architecture popping up all over the place. And humanity is so ignorant of the secrets of shape and how it harnesses energy. This is why sometimes you go into a building and feel sick, while in others you go in and feel fine. Because it's the energy that's formed inside the shape that dictates the conditions that exist within it. So shape has a lot to teach us relative to knowledge and the way the universe works. But you imagine if universal mind, that one mind, has the ability to communicate using shape. It's a bit like if I got somebody to stand 50,000 light years away, or 500 million thousand light years away, or whatever, however distance, say in the Andromeda Galaxy, or even further out, billions of light years away, and they had a piece of string. The way we communicate at present, we tap the string. By the time the signals travelled along the spring and got to the person that's hanging on to the other end, I'd be dead, and so would he. But if I learnt how to pull the string by affecting the mass at the same time, they get the message at the same time that I send it. So therefore, you've eliminated the necessity to send through space. So you've eliminated the space by affecting the mass. Shape teaches you how to do all of that. And this cycle of crop circles that are occurring in today's modern world, and they're not just in Britain, they're all over the planet. They are here to teach us how we can access the secrets of geometric form. Now, okay, you've got people running around saying, oh, we put them down, or they're man-made, or whatever. But you also have to take into account that universal mind again. For instance, if the universe wants a pattern to appear, and you have the ability to interpret design, the pattern will pop into a person's head with the desire to go out and do it. Go and put it in a field. They need to see it in a field. It's a desire. It's a belief. They need to do it. So again, you've got this belief process where they need to go and create this. It's a creative process. So whether it's man-made or not is irrelevant. It comes down to why it's there. What was the purpose behind it? I mean, there are stories of people putting patterns down, starting at 1:30, finishing at 4, looking back, they thought it was 4, checking the watches, it's still 1:30. Yet they would swear that they just spent 3 hours putting a pattern down. Time stopped. So why do these occurrences take place? Well, again, time and space are relative. You cannot have time without space. It's a bit like if you wanted to measure the distance between one telegraph pole and another. You need to calculate the space in between so that you can gauge how long it would take you relative to the speed that you go. But if you eliminate the space by aligning the telephone poles, because you can't see the space, you can't calculate the time. So that means that both exist as one unit. But there's a third element. Dimension. How does dimension fit into this? This will be in the next sequence of our discussion on the secrets of geometric shape in crop circles.